Chapter 17, A Heavy Trial. Another period of rest dawned for the church. The emperors who came to the throne after Decius and Valerian did not persecute the Christians. They were left in peace for 40 years. During those years of peace, their numbers increased constantly. One reason for that was because the Christians were no longer hated and mocked. They came into the government. Even Christian governors were appointed. The Christians in the army could advance to the highest positions. In the imperial palace, Christians were found among the courtiers. The emperor treated them kindly. For that reason, it was no wonder that thousands upon thousands said farewell to heathenism and went over to Christianity. It seemed as if Christianity had conquered. Churches were built everywhere. Beautiful, magnificent buildings were raised up in many cities. And while the churches were filled with people, rich and poor, distinguished and low, the heathen temples were usually empty and forsaken. The heathen priests walked about grumbling because hardly any sacrifices were brought. The Christians already counted on it that heathenism would soon disappear. Not a week went by or new members joined the church. Alas, not all were true Christians. Oh no, many joined themselves to Christianity because it was no longer a disgrace to be a Christian. But those named Christians would no longer attend the plain Christian churches, for they were ashamed of that. No, the buildings had to become just as nice as the heathen temples. Thus it happened that Christianity mounted more and more in outward pomp and splendor. The fear of God, the simple, God-fearing life, was moved more and more into the background. Everywhere a slackening entered, because they no longer feared danger. Danger? Why, no. The time of persecutions was past. Those fearful, anxious times of persecution would never return. Peace, peace, and no danger. And then? In those days, there was situated in Asia Minor, close to the metropolis Constantinople, the large city of Nicomedia. At that time, this city had become the capital of the Roman Empire. The Roman Emperor Diocletian did not want to live in Rome, but he had a beautiful palace built in Nicomedia. The inhabitants of Rome, the old capital, did not like that, and they were opposed to that. But Diocletian did not concern himself about that. He would live in Nicomedia, and that was final. Right across from the imperial palace stood the very beautiful Church of the Christians. That was one of the most splendid churches in the entire realm. Neither did Diocletian persecute the Christians. On the contrary, many courtiers were Christians. Even the Empress and her daughter were Christians in secret, and repeatedly visited the Church of the Christians. Diocletian knew this, but he permitted it. He did not want to go over to Christianity himself, because he was a heathen and wanted to remain a heathen. Besides, he hated all those quarrels because of religion. There were really two powers in his realm. On the one hand, it was ancient heathenism, which employed every means to be again restored into its former luster. On the other side, it was Christianity, which became more and more powerful, which could not be stopped, but victoriously emerged from all previous persecutions. These two powers stood over against each other. Oh, the emperor hated all that discord. The nicest thing of all would be one realm, one people, one religion, one emperor. But yea, how must he reach that goal? The Roman Empire was constantly attacked on its borders by powerful nations. Bloody wars were waged to hold back the intruding armies. Many times a life and death struggle was begun at the borders, and the Roman Empire was so large. It was really too large for one emperor. For that reason, Diocletian appointed three assistant emperors. It is true, he was the most powerful, the chief emperor, and he had to decide in everything, but his co-emperors would assist him. The empire was divided into four parts. Diocletian himself reigned over one part, while a fellow emperor reigned over each of the other three parts. The name of one of those fellow emperors was Galerius. He was married with a daughter of Diocletian. Thus, he was the son-in-law of the chief emperor. Well then, this Galerius hated the Christians with a deadly hatred. He would not rest until he had swept from off the earth those hated followers of Jesus of Nazareth. For that reason, he incited Emperor Diocletian against the Christians. He used every effort to place the Christians in an unfavorable light. He slandered the Christians in every possible way. At first, the emperor would not listen to him. He did not dare to do it. Christianity had become too powerful. The Roman Empire already was being fiercely attacked from the outside. Must he now sow confusion and discord within the realm itself, and by so doing weaken it still more? No, no, he would not do that. He dared not do that. Besides, he was so old already. Many times he was sick in bed. But Galerius persisted. He gathered the heathen courtiers around him and stirred them up. At one time, fire broke out in the imperial palace. Immediately, Galerius blamed the Christians for that. Shortly after that, a second fire broke out. The Christians were blamed again. Galerius made the emperor believe that the Christians wanted to murder him. He made Diocletian believe that the Christians wanted to burn him alive, for since the emperor was sick in bed, he would not be able to escape if the palace went up in flames. This frightened Diocletian. Doubt crept into his heart. Could that be true? Then his life was not safe for a moment. At last, he believed those false lies of his son-in-law, and finally, he agreed to attack the Christians. Galerius grinned, and Satan grinned too. And then, let us demolish that nest. Do kick in those doors. Just listen. What a shouting! Look once, what a multitude! In the early morning hours of a day in February, a large crowd has assembled before the beautiful church in the city of Nicomedia. They cry and rant, curse and rave. Fists are clenched, curses are cried out against the Christians. Listen! The heavy sledgehammer blows boom against the large doors of the stately church. Sledgehammer blows, which echo with a dull thud in the large hollow space within. With a cracking noise, The wood breaks into splinters, and soon the heavy doors give way. Howling with rage, the screaming mob entered with force. Nothing is spared by that gang which is blinded by hatred. The church is plundered. In addition, everything which is found inside the church is thoroughly destroyed. But with all that, those brutes are not content. The building itself must be leveled. All day long they are busy with that mad work of destruction. The church is broken down to the ground. When the sun sets in the evening, there is nothing left of the of the beautiful church in Nicomedia except a heap of rubble. This was the beginning of the worst persecution which ever took place. An imperial command came that all the churches of the Christians had to be demolished. Hundreds of houses of prayer were made level with the ground. An imperial command came that the Christians were not allowed to come together, hence they were not allowed to assemble. The Christians were dismissed from all offices. That means not one Christian was allowed to be in the government of the land. The courtiers, governors, and judges that were Christians were dismissed. The Christian officers and commanders in the army were thrust out of office and expelled. The Christian books had to be burned. They were really after the destruction of the Bible. Suddenly, the Christians were thrust down from the highest honors into the deepest humiliation. Suddenly, they were overloaded with ridicule, derision, and contempt. Finally, the imperial command came that everyone had to sacrifice to the gods and the emperor. Those that did not do so would be irrevocably put to death. The empress and her daughter, who secretly belonged to the Christians, were forced to sacrifice. And did they refuse? Alas, no. And they did not remain steadfast. They did sacrifice and bowed before brute force. Thousands of people who called themselves Christians fell away. Thousands entered the heathen temples again, and everywhere the clouds of incense ascended on high before the images of the gods, or before the image of the emperor, who had to be honored as a god. And yet, it is true, the falling away was unequaled great, but the sincere Christians, the true Christians, did not sacrifice. They stood firm in the deadly hours of danger. The blood of thousands of martyrs drenched the earth. The most horrible tortures were invented to get the true Christians to renounce their faith. What kind of tortures were they? No, it is better that I do not mention them, because you would perhaps not be able to sleep on account of it. God only knows what they had to suffer and wrestle with. But the Lord gave them strength and courage to endure the most horrible and not to be described pains and afflictions, and many entered jubilantly into death. The Lord now showed also that he was stronger than death. The enemies were amazed at the heroism of their victims. Like a brute, Galerius acted with an untrustworthy rage. Entire churches filled with Christians were set on fire, and all that were found within choked in the heavy smoke or were burned alive in the roaring flames. In Asia Minor, A little city was situated whose inhabitants were all Christians. The Roman soldiers surrounded the city and set fire to it on every side. Everyone, men and women, children and gray-haired ones, lost their lives. Thousands were horribly crippled, and then they were sent to the mines where they dragged out their miserable life. Never were there so many martyrs as during that persecution. I could go on like that for quite a while, but so much has happened at that time that no pen can describe it. Shall then the prince of darkness prevail? Shall then Christianity be wiped from off the earth? No, God rules, and he shall conquer. Diocletian died suddenly. He died a terrible death. God summoned him before his tribunal. Then all the innocent blood which had been shed by him was required at his hand. Oh, how terrible that was for him to fall into the hands of the living God. Two emperors came after his death. Galerius became emperor in the east, but a certain Constantine became emperor in the west. Well then, Constantine became emperor in the west, and he was a friend of the Christians. In the western part of the Roman Empire, the persecution ceased, but in the eastern part, where Galerius ruled, the persecutions continued to rage for some years. He had been just the instigator, had he not? Yet 6 long, fearful years, the Church of God groaned under the cruel hand of the tyrant. Then God arose and manifested his power. Suddenly, the inhumane persecutor, Galerius, became seriously ill. No, it was not a common sickness, but a terrible ailment attacked him. God's avenging hand cast him upon a terrible sickbed. All day long he roared from the terrible pain. God's holy vengeance pursued him. Galerius was at his wit's end, and it seemed as if he realized that the God of the Christians punished him, for suddenly he put an end to the persecutions. A command was issued by Emperor Galerius that it was no longer permitted to persecute the Christians. Perhaps he had hoped that he would be restored to health again, but his hope proved to be vain, for he did not recover. On the contrary, his sickness became constantly worse, and while moaning and in mortal fear, tossing about and about on his bed, he asked the Christians if they would pray for him. God's powerful hand humbled him to the lowest. First he persecuted them with fire and sword. First he did everything in his power to destroy them from the earth. And later, those self-same despised and scorned Christians had to pray for him. Fighting against God is disappointing. Have you done that, too, at any time? You surely will have to lose that battle. Galerius also had to lose that fight. Be assured that it must have been something for that proud emperor to ask for help from those despised followers of Jesus of Nazareth. But he came to that action because he was driven by necessity. Whether the Christians prayed for him, I do not know. But God said, "Hitherto and no further." He breathed his last breath amid the greatest pains. And after such a terrible persecution, The Church of God finally obtained rest again. Victoriously, Christianity came out of the persecution. The Christians had to make bloody sacrifices. Thousands of named Christians had fallen away in the hour of trial. Countless true Christians had to seal their profession with their blood, yet Christianity had not perished. Nevertheless, God's church had been cleansed. God himself has kept his church standing, and God shall continue to take care of his church until the last day. At times the waters may rise up to the lips, but it shall never come over the lips. When we consider Galerius, then we may say, surely there is a God who lives, and on this earth his sentence gives.